Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit. It is Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern here, and I am your host, Celeste Elliott. I'm here every week to bring you different topics about spirituality, spiritual living, and anything fun. Because why not? But we love to tell you about what's going on here in the Lilydale, New York community as well. So to that note, I have my favorite coffee mug filled with my favorite beverage, and I hope that you're joining us for coffee this morning. And more importantly, my very, very special co-host, friend, and neighbor, Brenda Hawkins. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
And good morning to everybody tuning in.
Perfect. Yes. And so you have some guests that may be joining us as well in your house, since we're talking about our animal friends today. So if anybody sees a tail or some ears, we'll be super excited.
My cats have a history of photobombing.
That's okay. That's what the internet was made for. Or so they tell me, and I believe them. So,
all other animals are welcome too, from wherever they may be coming from.
Exactly right. Yes. So, all right. Well, this is the first week of February, and all month long in February on Wake Up to Spirit, we are talking about different aspects of love, because there's lots and lots and lots of different aspects of love. And today is all about animals and communication. So thus the photobombing cats, in case anybody was wondering. So I'm really, really, really excited to have you on today, Brenda, because we haven't had an opportunity to do this before. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I always like to, you know, when I bring somebody on, I like to talk about kind of their spiritual journey, what their passions are. But how did you get started with your spirituality, with your what was the road that eventually brought you to Lilydale? Because they're always winding.
Well, spirituality has always been a large part of my life ever since I was a little kid and was asking my grade school teachers, you know, what's beyond the universe and what's making everything go and all of that. And they don't like questions like that when you're in first grade. And you get put in a corner with other books that don't have pictures in them.
Right.
And your parents get called in.
Okay.
And so it's just been part of my life. And I've always felt very drawn to it. I've always read up on different types of spiritualities, okay, mm-hmm. The different paths, because everything has some truth in it. And so it's kind of like a Chinese menu at a Chinese restaurant where you can take one from this column, one from that column. It's like I look for truth everywhere.
Their yeah. spiritual journey, what their passions Sorry. Are.
Sorry,
go ahead.
But how did you...
I did not mean to do that. I meant to reply to a viewer on a question, and I didn't realize that Facebook was going to interrupt the feed. So sorry about that.
That's okay. Are we getting a question?
Yeah, we are, but we'll save that for a little later down the road. I apologize.
So I continued to get involved just on my own without any guidance when I was in high school and college with meditation yoga. And this was back in the 1950s and mm-hmm. when that wasn't very mainstream the way it is now.
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, I just continued on with it. Did my very first, unawares for me, did my first mediumship when I was in college with a housemate. We were just having a conversation and suddenly I'm bringing in her brother who had died previously and shared some things with my housemate that only the two of them knew. And I have no conscious memory of it to this day. But it meant a lot to her and to her family.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it just kind of continued from there. Both of my parents were very, very, my mom was psychic and my dad was mediumistic.
Mm.
So it's like when I told my mom I was coming up here, because I had been in private practice in Atlanta as a licensed psychologist. I still am licensed in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was telling her why I was moving up here, I explained to her what Lilydale was and what it was about. And she was just so, kind of confused by it. And she said, well, why do they have a group for that? Because for her, it's like having a group focused on the grass being green. It's just part of life. It's like, why a group about that? It's self-evident.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So anyway, it felt strange trying to explain that to her. I continued practicing as a psychologist. Also, I became a registered medium, which was not in my plans when I moved up here. I just wanted to, read books and contemplate, meditate, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Be around like-minded people.
Yeah.
In a nice, quiet environment. Atlanta is not exactly quiet. It's a beautiful place and with wonderful weather, but it's not very contemplated by nature.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a wonderful place. And I've lived there for about 16 years. So, yeah, I've been here for 20 years now.
Wow, yeah.
And throughout my life path also, in addition to spirituality, there have also been the animals, too, from the time I was born, really.
So tell me a little bit about that, because, we all have kind of our favorite pet stories. And our favorite, not that we're playing favorites with our fur children, but but did you have animals growing up, like in your house?
I had animals growing up, mm-hmm. and also one set of grandparents had a farm. Okay.
Nice.
Family farm. So as you have with farming families, all hands on deck from the time you're able to walk. So yeah, from the time I was little at home, when I was, about 2-3 years old, we had a canary. And then when I was a little bit older, about 7, had my first kitten.
Oh.
And so I've continued to have animals, mainly dogs and cats. But there was a time when I also had a rabbit, 2 rats, 2 gerbils, goldfish. All of those at the same time, in addition to the dogs and the cats.
Nice.
Yeah. So right now, I have 2 rescue tabbies. And they kind of do this mother's brothers thing. Mom always liked you best, that sort of thing. When they have different personalities, so I love them each in their own way.
Right. Yes.
But they do actually get into that sort of thing.
Well, and I think we sort of, as humans, we'll say, they're fur siblings, because we adopted one at one time and one at another. And of course, some come from the same litter, depending on the situation. But but they do. It does take on a family dynamic. we do get to recognize their personalities and
it's very much, they're very much like humans. In addition to the two tabbies mm-hmm. I have now, I also had a Siamese who crossed over into spirit about a year ago.
Yes.
And she was, and you remember her, you met her.
Yeah.
And she was very much their kid. And you could see the parenting mm-hmm. thing going on. And when, and she, as a kitten, would eat out of their bowls. And I'm thinking, oh, is she going to be the boss of them? That's not real fair, because she was the last one to come into the family.
Right.
But, and I don't know how they did this, but on the same day when she went to eat out of their bowl as they were eating, they wouldn't let her, each one in turn. And so she would go from one to the other and would get the same response. Like they were coordinated. And I'm wondering,
yeah.
how did they have this meeting?
Yeah.
A lot of human parents have trouble doing that.
That's quite true.
She was very much the kid.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were concerned as she got sicker and sicker with her kidney disease.
Yeah.
And so, and they grieved when she crossed over. So it's very much a family.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask the obvious question. As a medium, have you had visitation from your animal loved ones in
For
spirit?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I frequently do, and I've even had animals coming in that were a part of other people's families, too. I know with my own, I have a rescued Shetland sheepdog in spirit.
Mm.
And when she was in the body, she would lay on the other side of the door and bring in animals from spirit during my readings. Because being a herding dog, she loved to herd and show the way.
Yes.
And now that she's in spirit, she does that too from spirit side. She'll bring the animals in.
Brilliant.
I'll be aware of Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow has come in. He was a rescue tabby. He was the first cat I had as an adult.
Right.
And the interesting thing with him was when he crossed over, which was on a Friday the 13th in August, many, many years ago. And he was very vocal because he was part Siamese. And so anyway, I would be in the kitchen and I would hear him up the stairs, and so I just out of habit I would go up to see what he was wanting, and there'd be no Shadow there. And then I'd be at the refrigerator, I would feel him staring at me, I would turn, and of course I didn't see him there because he was 17 when he crossed, so I was real used to communicating with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so a medium friend of mine in Atlanta said, well, why don't you put out his favorite toys and a bowl of water and see what happens. So what I did was I put out, there was this long rawhide bootlace that I had. That was his favorite thing to play with.
Nice.
So I threw it into the bedroom where it formed a little conch, and then put the bowl of water by the closet. And I put up a toddler gate so my dogs couldn't get to it.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I let go of that and proceeded to do my chores. At the end of the day, I went back up to the room,
mm-hmm.
and that long, heavy, rawhide bootlace was lying stretched out in the middle of the room.
Nice. Nice.
And there was some water missing from the bowl, but since it was summertime in Atlanta, I figured, well, that could just be evaporation. but that mm-hmm. long, heavy, rawhide bootlace,
yeah.
which was for a regular boot, so those things are long and heavy, but it was stretched out.
Nice.
And that's the last I heard from.
You know, I think you showed him that you were honoring that relationship.
Right.
You know, and you would always have a place for him, and that's beautiful. I think that's something that everybody can kind of take away from this when they're grieving a pet.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we make space for our human visitors in one way or another to honor them. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just want to let us know that they're okay
mm-hmm.
and they're still part of the family and they love us just so much. Shadow was a Velcro boy.
Oh.
And a very intense listener. And so, even when I would be reciting various research studies, my comprehensive exam. He would sit there and listen, and I know he didn't understand anything about discriminant analysis or anything like that.
Well, but he'd be surprised.
So he sat there and listened. So, yeah, he just wanted to let me know he was okay.
Yeah. He might have been studying for his kiddie exams as well, you know.
Well, lots of animals on Spirit Side do have jobs over there.
Tell us a little bit about that, because that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and it all depends on the pet's personality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And from here on, I would like to call them our companion. Okay.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. Okay, but I always like to start out with pets first because that's the word that most people recognize.
Yeah.
It depends on our companion's personalities and what their interests are. For example, with Kelsey, she loves the Sheltie. She loves to show the way, being a herding dog.
Right.
And so that's what she does is she finds animals. And nowadays, recently, she started to work with my spirit guide in locating people too and bringing them in.
Nice.
Because, again, she loves to show the way.
Yeah.
Some animals are healers, and they work with animals who on the earth plane were not treated very nice. Because there's a lot of them that cross over.
Yes.
And even though they've left the body that may be in a lot of pain and stuff, so they're not feeling anything physical, there's
right.
still the emotional, the psychological wounds that need to be worked with and looked at and learned from. Because we're all on this earth plane to learn.
Right.
And that's true of our companions as well as us humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it depends on the animal. And some are just part of the greeting committee, the welcoming committee. Especially if they have a connection.
Right.
With the previous ones, like when Kelsey crossed over,
mm-hmm.
My Siamese Pavarotti and my rescue tabby Artemis were there waiting for her. Okay. Yeah, there are welcoming committees. And my rescue terrier mix, mm-hmm. Maggie, which you never knew Maggie, she lived to be 17 also. But yes, and she loves the party. Okay, she's a party looking for a place to happen.
That's brilliant.
So anyway, yeah, she's a part of anybody's welcoming committee. She's just right there. It's like party time.
Nice.
And there are animal companions over there like that also. And that's their mm-hmm. thing, to be the welcoming committee. Like the welcome wagon.
Yes. Well, and it's very nice to be greeted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And humans talk about that, you know, who was there to greet them when they passed to the spirit. So why wouldn't animals have the same consideration, right? So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They know when to be there.
Yeah.
Just like when they're in the body, they know when it's dinner time.
Yes.
Even though they cannot tell time on the clock.
Yes.
One of my tabbies, Hakuna, Hakuna and Matata,
yes.
Sing the Lion King. Hakuna, when it's right on the dot, time-wise, I'll be working on something, and I feel eyes staring at me, and I look up, and there he is right in front of me, just staring.
Like, hello. It's dinner time.
Right, and
yeah.
They retain that ability, and so they know when to be there when either a companion or a human is crossing over.
Yes.
So we'll see our companions also when they cross over.
Yeah.
I just hope I don't see the fleas that I've helped cross over in the past.
I was thinking that about the mosquitoes, you know?
The mosquitoes too.
There is an old running joke at Inspiration Stump when we're waiting to give messages and go to God. Go to God, sending the mosquitoes off to spirit.
Bye.
So, you know, something we have to. Well, hopefully they're not too mad at us, you know.
Yeah, they're not angry over on spirit side. Nobody is.
No, quite true. Yeah. So we do have a couple of questions here. One being, there's somebody who was asking, and this is the question I was trying to acknowledge earlier. So, so early on, there's a question about having a pet in the home and how, and bringing another one in, and the first one being a little resentful of its new sibling, and how we approach them, or do you have any insight on how to sort of integrate a new family member?
Look at it this way. Suppose you were at work, you had a little desk, a cubicle where you did your work and stuff, and you had your coffee mug there and all of that, and you came in one day and somebody else was sitting in your space. Imagine how you would feel. And no one had said anything to you about that. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what our companions experience when we bring a new one in and they don't know that it's going to be happening.
Right.
Okay. Okay. With cats and a lot of vets and a lot of humane societies recommend this method, and I've used it myself numerous times, and I find that it works, is that what I'll do is take the newcomer and put them in a separate room with a kitty litter box and water and food, and I shut the door. And they stay in there, and I'll, of course, I go in and visit them, take care of the needs and stuff, okay?
Right.
And that way, the resident cat can go over there, sniff, and you know how curious cats can be. It's who's in there?
Yes.
In a post-it note. Okay, you know how we get post-it notes saying, oh, so-and-so's coming. And then for us, it's like, oh, okay, someone's coming, okay. And then after a while, the cats, after they sniff under the door, then they start pushing their paws, their front paws, under the doors, and they start playing footsie.
Yes.
And what I'll do is, over the course of days, I'll switch them back and forth so that the first time when we switch places, then that way the resident cat can be where the newcomer was and get accustomed to the scent and, you know, smell any of the fur that's there, you know, because our companions use scent a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like an introduction, and that way, too, the newcomer can be out in the rest of the house, get adjusted to the new surroundings, get the resident cat scent, and then finally, when you see them being more curious about each other than anything, you know, they're playing a lot of food, then you can just open the door one day and act like it's no big deal, because they take their cues from you. It's like, oh, it's no big deal. I just left the door open, you know, and they're like, oh, okay, here's the one I've been sniffing and smelling and playing with, and they get along real well that way. Now,
it's like online dating for cats.
Exactly. Socially distanced initially. Now, with dogs, I do it differently, okay? Because I've been trying to adopt a dog, because as you know, Kelsey's on Spirit Side now.
Right.
And she's kind of screening the dogs from her end.
Good.
But what I've done is, when I go to meet a dog, and if I think there might be potential, what I'll do is I'll take an old t-shirt with me and I'll rub it on the dog.
Yes.
And then I'll take it home and the cats get to vote.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh. That way they can kind of meet the dog by remote.
Yeah.
Okay. And one time I did that, and this was before I knew Hakuna didn't like other males. And I did this with a male dog, brought the t-shirt home, and he had to sit all night long. He stood guard over the two litter boxes all night. Nobody got any sleep that night. The two other cats were running around frantic, and he's just standing guard next to the litter boxes, which is their main, that's their sole territory that is just solely theirs.
Yes.
That I just take care of, but that is their thing. I don't use their litter box, okay?
Right, yeah.
And from the cat's perspective, that is their special territory. So being little boy, he stood guard over it all night. So I thought, okay, and he wouldn't even be in the same room with the t-shirt.
Oh, okay. So, well, that'll tell you.
Yeah, so I put the t-shirt in the washing machine, washed it, and he was okay.
Thanks.
He even tried to push it when he did come down into the living room. He tried to push it under the couch. He tried to bury it. So yeah, cats know who to bring in and who not to bring in.
Right.
And since they were here first, I always let them vote. Something's important.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we don't always get to vote on our siblings. you know, you hear stories of human children at the hospital meeting their siblings and going, yeah, we can give that one back. That's okay.
So, gee, well, do we have to bring them home?
Right. So that works out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There are a couple of stories and comments here. One being about a medium that brought through James Van Prague brought through apparently a big black Labrador for somebody in the auditorium a few years back. And, you know, it doesn't matter how tough you are, if the companion that brought you unconditional love comes through to say hello, you're going to get emotional about it.
Exactly.
Does not matter. And then there's another, there's a question about, you know, sometimes animals will alert us to a situation that they're picking up on. Energetically, that, you know, we don't understand. We know that cats and dogs are very sensitive to spirit. We know that they, you know, talk to each other through the neighborhood.
Right.
Through a
they
lot of different ways. Right, yeah. So there's a question here about, you know, what do you do if you have a dog that is barking at nothing? Like if they're standing in the corner, it's facing a corner or facing a spot that there isn't anything that a human can see or perceive, mm-hmm. and they're barking at it.
Interesting, because I've never run into dogs that would bark at something. Typically they're curious, they're communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And typically they're wanting you, when they bark, they're wanting you to pay attention to something.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And so it's like if you acknowledge that to your dog who's barking and reassure them, it's like, yes, I see you, I hear you, and it's okay.
Nice.
And yeah, very often that will fix it, okay? Because mm-hmm. I just want to be really sure that you are really aware that you're not just saying, all right, so on and so forth, yeah. Just dogs can tell the difference. Yes. So can any companion.
Oh, okay? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they try to tell us when there's either a spirit that needs attention or even a physical thing that needs attention. With spirit animals, I know the first house I moved into in Lilydale was owned by a famous Scottish medium, Belle Ferguson, and no one had lived there for 10 years since she had left the house. And so I noticed one day both of my cats and my dog Kelsey were staring in a certain place. So I looked over and I saw this translucent gray cat, and he walked diagonally across the living room and walked right into the brick fire chimney there.
Oh.
And so I started asking around mm-hmm. about in Lilydale about this gray cat, because he was walking with his tail straight up like he owned the place.
Right. And, yeah.
And everybody independently said, oh, that's Bill Ferguson's old cat. Don't mind him. He just likes to show off.
Well, he was sending the message, wasn't he? It's still my house. I still visit.
Right. Just please respect that.
Yeah.
And that was the last time either I or any of my companions have seen that cat. Okay.
Wow.
But yeah, our animals on the airplane will alert us. They want us to know when a spirit is around. Like when I see my two tabbies looking up at the corner and it's towards the ceiling, it's like, I won't know who it is because I'm not in reading mode. They'll just say hi to them, whoever it is.
Yeah.
And then my cats, you know, just go on about their business.
Yeah.
They just want to, our companions just want to be sure that we're getting their signals and we're taking the signals seriously, because so often humans don't take animals seriously.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as far as they're concerned, this is their house too, and they feel responsible for it, and they like for things to be a certain way and for everything to be proper.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, they will try to communicate with us about that.
Yes.
And listen to your dog's bark too. Is it an excited, happy bark? Is it an anxious bark, or is it an angry bark? Is it frustrated because it feels like you're not paying attention?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Because they like our undivided attention, not split attention.
Yes.
Which is what we humans are inclined to do.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yes. And, you know, I can't say I'm not guilty of it with, you know, because we sort of train ourselves to think that we have to multitask.
Uh-huh.
Which comes from years and years of my working in an office and doing dictation and, you know, typing and listening and also paying attention to what's going on over here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's annoying to try to to talk to somebody and they're on their cell phone or they're, you know, watching TV or they're not, you know. Yeah. So, of course, it would be the same for our companions.
For sure. Especially when you consider that we are the center of their lives. They give all of themselves to us. They give us their whole hearts unconditionally.
Yes.
So, of course, they're going to want us to be fully present to them also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think you hit on a very interesting point, because it's a question that we get all the time, which is that you're not always in reading mode.
Right.
And I'm so glad that you said that, because that's quite true, you know.
Yeah.
Mediums aren't always on all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I tell people, I'm not always plugged in.
Right. I would think it would be very funny as a bad joke to almost like have a cord running to the reading chair, you know, in our in our office. let me plug in. And, you know,
right.
Drape it over our lap, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Into an, you know, at least under the armpit would be hilarious, but inappropriate. So, that's funny.
It's kind of like our intuition can work at various times, like, you know, and we've all had those experiences where, you know, we listen to our intuition and things work out well. If we don't listen to it, then we wind up wishing we had. Okay.
Yes.
But that's very different from mediumship.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And intuitively, I think we all have the emergency need to know channel.
Right.
And that's like Amber Alerts on the phone. It's just on in the background. It's an ambient thing. And when it needs to be activated, it will be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like back in the day, and anyone who's watching or listening in who's older can relate to this. We used to have Connell Rat alerts back in the 1950s, and it would be in preparation for a possible atomic bomb attack. And of course, since we live near D.C. at the time, or in the D.C. area, we would get a lot of those. Mm-hmm. And so we would be watching a TV program like, what, Zorro, Walt Disney Presents, or The Real McCoy, something like that. And suddenly the civil defense thing comes on the screen, and there's this deep male voice saying, "This is a Colorado work." And, you know, it's kind of like our intuition is kind of like that. We're going about our business, we're watching our TV programs, or whatever, and suddenly it's like, okay, we got this sudden awareness.
Yeah.
This thought or this feeling.
Yeah. That's huge. So, by the way, there was another comment that came in because the cats in Lilydale, you know, they really are keepers of the energy. And we acknowledge that and kind of let them do their thing. It's their town. We just live here. It's okay, you know, and everybody knows everybody's cat for the most part, or at least where their territory is. And there was a comment here from somebody, and I just think it was a really funny story that one of our listeners was here with their cat, with their husband, walking the grounds, and there was a cat that came up to greet them and was following them around. And led them back to its home, which its human companion happened to be a medium. So the cat was actually herding them towards a reading. Like, you should meet my human because she can do what you need, or he can do what you need, depending on who it was. I just thought that kind of drives home the point of, you know, them doing the sacred work for us. So that's
exactly. Yeah. And you might notice too how they're always drawn to us when we're meditating.
Yeah,
they're very drawn to the energy. When I'm doing readings, if I'm in my house here instead of in my reading room, and doing a phone reading, okay, I'll see the two tabbies start to gather. It's like they're there at my feet, or one's on top of my head, the other's on my lap, you know, that sort of thing. But they're very drawn to spirit energy.
Yeah.
It's like they've got radar.
Definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever, because everybody works differently, do you ever put yourself into reading mode in order to connect with the animals, whether they're your companions in spirit or your companions on this plane?
I go into reading mode when I want to connect with other companions. Okay. Yeah. Now, with mine who are here on the earth plane, it's a very similar sort of thing, but not quite as intense. It's like I can feel their feelings. It's like my it's more than regular intuition, but it's like my my sensors are out and extended a bit more.
Right. Yes. Oh, the whiskers.
Yeah. The whiskers. Yeah, the whiskers. Because you know, cats and dogs use their whiskers a lot. Yeah, and they get information that way also.
Right.
The vibrations, you might say. Okay. But yeah, it's like you want to extend your sensors, your antenna, their whiskers out more, because they're talking to you all the time, okay? But with their body language, the tension in their bodies, the sounds of their voices, even the eye contact, even the pupils of their eyes will give you information.
Yeah.
And also, too, communicating, being in contact with our companions is not too different from being aware of other people around us, because we're all thinking, feeling beings. We just happen to be wearing different bodies from them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true.
And our bodies are temporary. We're all part of spirit. We're all energy. Okay.
Yeah.
So, as we develop our empathy for other people, our ability to put ourselves in other people's shoes, we can learn to put ourselves in other companions' thoughts.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can feel what they're feeling.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know what to get for them. You know when they're when they need help, like when they may need to go to the vet because something's out of balance or something needs fixing. Because they can't say to Mom, I'm having a pain around in the area of my liver, and it seems to be when I eat thus and such. They can't say that.
No.
But if you can put yourself in their paws, you can pick that up. And it's like, for sure, we can't diagnose. Okay, much less prescribe, but they can let us know, okay, something's not right.
Yes.
And so you can get help for them.
Yeah.
And they appreciate that for us. They may have a fit about going into the cat carrier. Our Athena, my Siamese, who passed a year ago, should turn into something from The Exorcist with these elastic legs and paws all over the place.
Although I have to say, if a giant picked me up and put me in a carrier, I wouldn't be that happy either.
Right. Well, what's funny is I always keep a carrier out with the door open and a little towel in the bottom, because that way they have a hidey place if they want to, you know, be in a little enclosed place, because cats like that. And dogs also, they like their kennel. Okay, they like to have a den, a little space where they can just kind of be.
Yes.
And in the wintertime, it helps them be warmer, too, because it helps to contain the body heat.
Yeah. I had we had sleeping bags for our dash hounds that were specifically for dash, so they could burrow, because that's what those animals do. And,
right.
And then they felt, you know.
Home.
Yes, exactly. So,
they were bred for burrowing in.
Yeah, exactly. So, and they found their ways. Fortunately, they didn't destroy any couches in the process. So, we got off lucky. So, I just, because we're getting a little close on time, we've got about 15 minutes. So, I want to just pause and acknowledge that you and I have Valentine's Day plans together.
Yeah, we do. But not what most people do on Valentine's Day.
No, not at all, but that's okay. And, you know, I want to make sure that we get to invite all of our guests who are listening, because Brenda has very graciously agreed to be part of a fund, mediumship fundraiser for the Women's Event Committee on Women's Day event. I think I'd be able to say that properly, but okay, on Valentine's Day. And it's online, and you can get the tickets at lilydaleassembly.org. They're $20 a piece, and the mediums, there's five of us, who are going to bring messages from Spirit, and we'll see who turns up for you.
We never know in advance, and it can be two-legged or four-legged or two wings.
Yes.
I've even had hot deli pigs come in. So it could be anything.
I once got to meet a dolphin, and that was very exciting for me.
Me.
So, you never know.
You just never know, because, you know, again, they're all animals. You know, they're spirit also, just like we are. So, they do come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've even had a couple of giraffes. I had a donkey come in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I am, I still have my fingers crossed for an alpaca at some point.
Oh, they're so cute.
They really are. I'll tell you about my alpaca encounter in someday when we're not on the air. But and I also should mention, there's lots of online classes going on through Lilydale Assembly, and they can find those also on lilydaleassembly.org. And for the Lily Dale Blog Talk Show, I am not the only one. There are several of them. So Mondays, we have Medium Monday at noon with Sharon Hill. Tuesdays, we have Embracing Your Essence with Colleen VanderZeiden at 8 p.m. Wednesdays, we have two shows. In the morning, we have Wednesdays with Willa at 10 a.m. And in the evening at 8 p.m., because that's evening, we have Journeys into the Light with John White. Of course, I'm here every Thursday. And then on Fridays, we now have Spiritual Conversations, and that's with Angie Apt, and that's at noon. So people can tune in. Most of those shows are also on Facebook Live, but you can also catch them on blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. So that's all my advertisements for the day. I always have a little post-it note on the corner of my laptop that says, remember to remind people. So,
and we all need those reminders.
It says something along the lines of, remember not to forget. All right. So, we do have a couple of callers on the line. If you are interested in taking a caller, very good. Okay, so caller ending in 0431. If you could give us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Cindy. I'm calling from Grand Junction, Colorado.
Very cool. Very nice to meet you, Cindy. So, did you have a question for Brenda and I? Or a story you want to share?
Do you read animals that are still on the earth plane?
So I bring in animals who are on the earth plane? Is that your question?
Yes.
Okay. People will come in and want to know about their animal companions that they currently have. Okay. And, of course, we can't diagnose or prescribe, but... again, Kelsey helps me a lot with that. Okay. And I've even had people bring in their dogs to join the reading physically. Right. You know, if they're in the body, I'll say, well, if you'd like to have your dog be present, your dog can be part of our circle too, because it would be two people in the family and they would want to get a reading on their dog. So I would say, sure, you're welcome to bring your dog. And the dog was just, again, they love that energy, so the dog just sat right there. We were all in a real nice little circle, and was very nice, too, about offering a paw. And I can have them physically there, or Kelsey can be the go-between, because she's a medium also, working with the animals, and she communicates with me a lot. Yeah, so that is possible.
I'm sitting here right now with my 16-and-a-half-year-old Papillon Chihuahua, and he's been declining, and I've been really babying him and struggling with when and if he's ready to cross over.
What is your emotional connection with him like? Are you and he buds? Or is it a little bit more distant than that? Or, you know, can you describe your connection with him in general?
I've had his name is Fishbait. His nickname is Fishy. I've had him since he's a week and a half old. My daughter brought him home wrapped up in a washcloth and a shoebox, and I bottle fed him until he was able to start eating food. He's been my constant companion for 16-and-a-half years.
Okay. So you have a very close connection. And I imagine you can feel his feelings at this, because he will our companions let us know when they're ready to cross. So we have to, you know, let them know that, you know, and you can say to them, please tell me what you're wanting and when you want it. Just put it open to them like that. Please let me know what you want.
Yeah.
and they'll let you know. But we have to be open to hearing their answer, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Whose dog was getting ready to pass, she had terminal cancer. And this friend of mine, okay, she just kept clutching on to her dog to the point where the dog started to separate from her and she would just hang out with me. Because it was like, for me, it was like, well, just tell us what you want, sweetie.
Yeah.
Tell us what you need. And they'll tell you. Now, that means we have to be in a real centered space ourselves, which is can be easier said than done. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to be in a very centered space, maybe meditate or whatever quiet time you have for yourself in whatever form that takes, and get yourself just so centered that you can then communicate to her very clearly without any reservations on your part, okay, that you're open to hearing whatever it is she wants or he wants.
Okay. Okay.
They can pick up when you have reservations.
Yeah.
And
they'll
try so hard, okay, to keep on going just to please us. So we have to say, hey, I want to be of help to you now. Whatever it is you want, just let me know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So you may have to work with that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a hard space to be in, but we've all been there.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in, and lots of love to both you and your companion there.
And I hope that helps.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, that's the hardest thing about being a pet parent, you know, is that we live much longer than them, unless you have a tortoise, in which case you need to leave plans in your will.
And parrots too.
Yeah.
Parrots too.
How long do parrots live?
It depends on the species of parrots.
Yeah.
Some parrots, like African gray parrots, can live to be up into their 80s, like 84.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there are so many parrots that are in rescue because they outlive their owners.
Yes.
So a lot of people who are parents, try saying that fast 10 times. Okay. They encourage people that if you're interested in getting a parrot, please contact the rescues because there are so many of them.
Yeah.
And there aren't enough homes.
That's very, very good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because, you know, they tend to outlive us.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Brenda Hawkins laying knowledge on us all over the place. I love it. So we do have one other caller that we'll try really quick, ending in 6076, if you could give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Lisa. I'm calling you from Arizona. Thank you for taking my call. Do you take psychic questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not doing that.
I'll hang up and listen. I know you guys having a conversation. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, again, that brings up the whole question about being in reading mode and being plugged in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I, you know, on my show, every once at a blue moon, I will do mediumship messages from, you know, and see, because, you know, from my understanding, from my training, you can get intuitive messages, psychic messages from someone, from their auric space, which is that conglomeration of everything that people have known and experienced in their lifetime. So I can tell you what you think you know about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But anything, you know, if you want that wider overview, sometimes it's and neither is better than the other, but they are different, you know. And mediumship is really getting that information from the spirit world, and you know, what your loved ones think of a situation, how they're around you, how they're supporting you, knowing you, whether they think you're more likely to zig or zag, given a situation, but, you know, they won't come and tell you what to do, you know? Again, unless it's an emergency, in which case get out of the house is very valid.
With mediumship, we're crossing dimensions, okay? Our spirit loved ones are crossing dimensions to be with us, and we meet them in the middle, okay? So we have to cross a few dimensions too, whereas the psychic work doesn't involve all of those connections. It's kind of like what intuition ramped up a couple of octaves, you might say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And also the early warning thing, too. Just a real good example, I'll just give this very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
I was offered a job when I was in Atlanta, up in New York City, that would have paid an incredible amount of money. They would have done everything for me. Everything was tax-free, so on and so forth.
Nice.
And I would have a very beautiful office with a wonderful overview of all of New York City.
Wow.
But something told me not to take it. And this was back in 1999. And then a few years after I'd been living up here, fast forward a number of years, I found the headhunter, the recruiter's business card, and my office would have been number 2 World Trade Center.
Yeah.
But at the time, I didn't know what that feeling was, but I just kept getting no, no, no. My insides are just tightening up. And that's one source of intuition, is listen to your body.
Okay. Absolutely. Yes.
And my insides were tightening up, and he's saying, please tell me what we need to do to close this deal. And I would just sit there at this very expensive restaurant and say, I don't know. But that's how intuition is. We don't know why. We just get those signals.
Right.
And so it's important to listen to those signals that your intuition is giving you, whether it works with your jaws, your stomach, your chest, wherever it is that you receive your intuition from, or the words or pictures that come into your head.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important. And thank you for bringing that up, because that's something that people can really, really, really benefit from.
For sure, so, yeah. If I hadn't have listened to my intuition,
you would probably not be here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was one of the top floors of number 2 World Trade Center. And I still have his business card.
Wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, listen to your intuition.
Yeah.
And that would help you listen to your own companions, too.
So real quickly, because I just did get a question here. What do you do if you feel that your intuition is confused with fear? How do you distinguish between what is your stuff and what is intuition?
That's a dynamite question.
Right?
Yeah, that's where really working on, you know, fear is like static on the radio, so you can't really hear or see well.
Yes.
And you don't want to be guided by fear.
Right.
So you want to look at what the fear is telling you, okay? Is it reality-based? Is it valid? Where is it coming from? Also, I'm very much a proponent of working on your own personal issues to help clarify your intuition, because sometimes the fear can be coming from some very old programming, some sort of trauma or negative experience from way back when that we may not have thought about in a long time.
Yes.
But there's something that's triggering it. It may be coming up to be healed, to be worked with.
Yeah.
And the more we can heal those spots, then the clearer our intuition becomes. So we can start telling the difference.
Yes.
That was one thing I had to work on a whole lot when I was developing back decades ago, and that was, okay, what is fear and what is information?
Right.
And that's a process to work on for a long time. Yeah. You won't get it clarified in just one quick, easy answer.
Right.
But it's a journey of self-discovery, self-healing, and the more work you do on yourself, the better. You have to know what your issues are.
Yes, exactly right. That's one of the things that that came out of 2020 is the education of people, laymen such as myself, in talking about implicit bias. And there's all kinds of implications for that. But really looking at what society has trained us, how it trained us to see things and people and situations, our personal experiences, if I am as a medium terrified of clowns, and somebody comes to me and their very beloved father in spirit was a professional clown for a living, I'm going to have to know that I'm picking up on that, on the clown thing, and I'm going, wait, why am I? It's not that he was a bad man. I'm just terrified of clowns because I had a bad experience. I don't have anything against clowns, by the way. I just happen to, you know.
That's a common fear, though.
Right, yeah. So... So that's why I picked it. But these are things that, because mediums are human, that's part of the training that every person has to kind of, as much as possible, look at their own stuff.
And that's one thing too. One thing I appreciate about my training as a psychologist when I was a young graduate student, back then, we were all required to go through our own therapy and experience as many different types of therapy as possible.
Because,
as they would say, you can't take your client to a higher place of development than you're at.
Yes.
And you have to know what is your stuff and what is your client's stuff. So we all had to, we were required to work really, really hard on ourselves.
Absolutely.
Nowadays, they can't require it, but I find that that's real beneficial. And I see the same thing being true of mediumship, that the more we develop ourselves and the more we work through all of the old stuff so it doesn't get activated, or if it does get activated, we recognize it.
Right.
Okay. And we can kind of step that to one side and recognize, okay, that's not what's going on here. You know, this woman's dad was a clown. It's not that there's some trauma involving the Ringling Brothers Circus or whatever.
Brilliant.
Thanks for bringing that up. That's
so
crucial.
Well, it wasn't actually me, it was you. I was just piggybacking.
Oh, <wasn't> that?
It's very kind of you to give me the credit, but you know, I was just going off of you, so okay. All right. Well, that kind of takes us right to the end of the time, but is there anything, so I don't want to leave viewers before they have an opportunity to know, how do folks find you, Brenda?
Well, I'm listed on the Lilydale website. Okay. And I also have my shingle outside the house. And I don't advertise per se. I let hear it guide who comes here and who doesn't come here.
Right.
And in my prayers every day, I say, please send me the people who would find help here.
Nice.
Whoever I can benefit.
Nice.
Bring those people.
That's beautiful. Nice. Yeah.
And I have had people come who were just up here for the summer, and they came and said, I felt really drawn to being here. I don't know why I'm here, but here I am.
We hear that a lot, don't we? Yeah.
I think your spirit knows more than I do.
Right.
They have a broader perspective.
Exactly. Yeah. What's the old joke about Lilydale is technically an island. So those of us who live here will sometimes mm-hmm. joke, when you're ready, the island will call you. So we're not tropical, but we have other charms. So.
For sure. Yeah. So if you look me up the website,
yeah.
One of my cousins in Maryland told me that I'm actually pretty easy to find on the internet.
That's good. I like that. So yeah. So your website is linked off of lilydaleassembly.org under Find a Medium.
Uh-huh.
And then do you have a regular website that's running as well?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
I'm waiting for Spirit's guidance with that.
Right.
I haven't gotten the green light yet for that. I always follow what Spirit's giving me.
Yeah. Perfect.
Even though I'm one of the few without a website, that's because that's what I'm getting from Spirit.
Yeah. And that's mm-hmm. okay too. So.
Yep.
All right. Cool. Well, thank you so, so, so much for being on today. I really appreciate it. And I know the viewers do as well. So I guess that brings us to a close. So until next time, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next Thursday. And don't forget to get those Valentine's tickets.
Thanks for having me today, too. I really enjoyed it. The time just flew by.
Yeah.
And again, if someone wants to get in touch with me, my phone number is right there on the website.
Perfect. Okay. So until next time, everybody, we are wishing you a good day and good vibes.
Bye.
And we're clear.
You know, I almost wore a top that looks like that one.